Living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior, for He is good. For He is good. I will rejoice.
Now, here's our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, as we say every day, because it's true, 24/7, 365 and a quarter, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org. And as we tell you every once in a while, you can find our sermons on there, and you can find these transcripts to these teachings or radio archives, or find out about Riverside Christian Fellowship. There's some devotionals and books. You can email me, PastorJD, at voiceofvision.org. Plenty to do right there, and we appreciate you coming and checking us out. Well, friends, today's teaching we're going to entitle Dead Men Can Dance. Dead Men Can Dance. In Genesis 28:17, Jacob said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God." Bethel, you know. Now, the modern versions of the Bible use the word awesome, where the King James Version uses the word dreadful, and I like the old rendering. I think it gives a better sense, in a sense, because the majesty of God is indeed a dreadfully awesome thing. Think of Isaiah chapter 6, you know, where Isaiah said that in the year King Uzziah died, "I too saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple." You ever wonder about that? That's when the coat was on the king, and it says his train filled the temple with the Lord there, and that's an allusion to the fact that he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because when kings would conquer another king, they would take a bit of the cloth of their robe and attach it to theirs, of the other person's, the other king's, and attach it to them. Then, you know, the more that they had on there, you know, the longer the train would be, and all the many colors and all of that. And it was an awesome sight for Isaiah to see the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And it's a dreadful thing, in a sense, of the fear of the Lord. He said, "I'm an unclean man in the midst of an unclean people with unclean lips." Or think about the many angelic encounters we see recorded in Scripture. You know, when people saw angels, they didn't go, "Oh, this is so neat." They were afraid. They were afraid. When faced with the hosts of heaven, men fall to their knees and worship. And how many times did the angels have to say, "Don't worship us, we're not God"? Or, you know, that we had this reverence they had, and or just plain fear. And probably a combination of all three of those, reverence and worship and fear. However, in churches today, we've replaced the majesty of God for the marvels of the world. We have all the latest technology and sound equipment and, you know, musical stuff, and you name it. We're as state-of-the-art as any amusement park out there, in some respects, and certainly as powerful as any theater in many cases. I'm not saying we got to go back to using an organ, or, you know, that we're not even supposed to have any technology at all, no microphones and all that. I'm not saying that at all, friends. Using technology and visual and audio and all that is not itself a bad thing. I mean, we're recording a radio program right now that you're hearing over media, and we have our sermons on sermon audio, and, you know, we use portable document files, and we're on your iPod and iTunes, MP3 players, all that. I'm not saying that stuff is bad. It's good. But when we're inside the church building, it can still be good, but it's bad if it distracts us from the real reasons we're to be at church. Too many have been blindsided by the spectacle and not awed by the holiness or the otherworldliness, and instead have met only the majesty of the worldliness we can sort of muster up. You know, it's like, wow, what a great service and all that, and it's because, you know, the music sounded smooth and the preacher was visible on the big screen and everybody seemed to be having a good time and people were maybe even dancing in the aisles. But even dead men can dance. I mean, is there conviction of sin? Is there the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the coming judgment? That's what the Holy Spirit does. And we replace the Holy Spirit with a lot of unholy hootenanny, I could say. Again, too many blindsided by the spectacle of things that we can muster up and make it seem like, you know, God is moving. Today, many could be in the presence of God, but like Jacob, they wouldn't even know it. He said, I didn't even realize this was God's house. I didn't realize I was in the presence of God, he said in Genesis 28:16. We've taken the things that the world would call awesome, and we've Christianized or baptized them into sanctity, thinking we have to have what the world has to, you know, reach the world, but that's just reaching them where they're at. I'm not saying don't have the latest technology. I'm saying that that's not the thing that drives the church. Are they merely spectacular in a worldly sense? You know, they'd say awesome to the worldly counterpart as well. The words would just be different, but the same feeling would be there. I remember watching a movie with my father-in-law, and actually my wife was watching it. She told me this story now that I remember it correctly. But it was at a country music concert, and I'm not going against country music concerts, but what I'm saying is that everybody had their lighters up, and they were swaying and lifting their hands and all that, and he mockingly said, oh, can you feel the spirit? You know what I'm saying now, friends? People would say awesome to the worldly counterpart as well. It's just, you know, a concert. What's the net effect? They liked the experience, but they could get that anywhere. They didn't experience God. They had a sensory overload, a soulish delight, not a spiritual awakening or enlightenment. What we need is not bigger and better versions of the world's diversions. We need something that the world cannot duplicate. We need to have something that money can't buy, poverty can't lose, and no one can steal. And that has nothing to do with physical equipment. It has to do with spiritual equipment. Again, John chapter 16, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. We need the Holy Spirit to move, and that doesn't move with how the volume is, friends. Not against volume. I'm for value. Are we placing too much value in the things of the world, thinking this is what gets people to come in? We don't just need to give them something that the world can duplicate and just do it a little better and say, see, we've got it, so come to where we are. Because then the next guy that's promoting a different religion or a different snake oil salesman can also do the same thing. Do you get what I'm talking about? We need the honest to goodness real thing, the presence of God in our midst. And that doesn't cause people to always just get so happy and everybody leave with a smile on their face. It causes repentance. A holy fear of God among us is the fruit of such an encounter. And the response is not, wow, how cool was that? But, wow, what a fool I've been. It's a matter of emphasis and priority. If the priority is on the people, then the focus is wrong and what they're seeking, because God is the one that seeks, and the Bible says no one seeks after God, no, not one. But we feel like if we just did the right thing, if we just did the right means, it would constitute a revival. An old-time revivalist said that, and he was wrong. And look what it's led to. The emphasis is on entertainment instead of ministry. The priority is on the fun of fellowship instead of the exhortation and encouragement, edification. Hebrews 10:24 says that we're supposed to stir each other up to love and good works in the assembly, not stir ourselves up to laughter and enjoyment as the key to building each other up. I am not against laughing. Even in the church, you know, there can be jokes and things like that. They have their place to be illustrations and all of that, and we do it on this program from time to time. Maybe too much for you or not enough for you, but I'm not against the things. But the point is to stir you up to love and good works, not just laughter and enjoyment, as if you feel good, then you'll do good. Oh, friends, no. Happiness is not the secret to holiness. Can you hear me there? Did that raise your hackle there? Happiness is not the secret to holiness. Instead of just accepting the world's culture, we need to line them up, learn them up, and lift them up. Let me read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 17. Excuse me, let me read verse 14. There's a lot of good stuff there, but it says, we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. Again, line them up, learn them up, and lift them up. You see, when we have special events that aren't as focused on the proclamation of the word. We're not against that. You know, we're having a, at the time I'm recording this, it's on a Wednesday, and we're going to have a barbecue Saturday this week, and we have events, and sometimes the events are we're going out and evangelizing. Some of those events aren't so much evangelizing, they are fellowship. You know, we eat after our service on Sunday, and sometimes, you know, that's good teaching moments and all that, but it's about fellowship. I'm not against fellowship. I'm all for it. We need to do that. And so we have a lot of events that aren't as focused on the proclamation of word, and those aren't necessarily bad. But you need to ask yourself, why more people attend those things? Especially those people that don't normally do church. We think if we can just do this and get them in, then we'll give them the gospel. And that's really kind of lying to them, isn't it? That's kind of what they call bait and switch, isn't it? They ought to know that if they come, that they can have a good time, but that you will be giving out the gospel. That they just can't come whenever they want to, and of course they can, but that they're not going to get any God. They're just going to come to the events to where it's just fun. It ought not to be fun too much around you when you're a Christian. Not that you are a jerk for Jesus, but that people know what you're all about and you're just not trying to capitulate and conform yourself to the world. Again, why do we have more people attend these things that don't normally do church? Of course, some naive minister or immature congregant will tell you, as they have me many times, oh, we should do this all the time. We get people who otherwise wouldn't be here. That's the point. They'll come if it's entertaining. But if it's seeking God's face in worship, they don't want any part of it. Of course they don't. They're not regenerate. They do want a safe place. A lot of people want to be around church. They want their children to come to church because they want it to be a safe place and them grow up in that environment, but they don't want themselves want to be sanctified. They want a safe place, but not a sanctified one. They act Christian, you know, all nice and happy and all that, but without conviction. They can praise. They can be there on Sunday and even sing the songs, but they can't truly worship. We think that we can play the world's songs with just a little Christian tuning up and things will be, you know, all right. It seems to work for a lot of churches, don't it? Doesn't it? They seem to get bigger and bigger and bigger, but if you were to really know the hearts of the people, I guess in any church, and I don't mean to pick on big churches, but you wonder sometimes how they get big when it doesn't seem like much is going on in the community. A lot of people playing church, friends. We think that just because we get them coming to us, just because we get them moving with us, and just because they begin to act like us, that we have converted them. But they're only converts to that sort of lifestyle and not the life of God. Only God converts, friend. They may be active with their flesh, but in their spirits, they're still dead men. That's what we need to be concerned about. You see, you can have a lot of activity. You can have a lot of buzz around your church. You can have all the latest equipment and all that, and people seem to be nice, and still God not have their heart. People can be active with their flesh and still be dead. You see, you could even have them dancing in the aisle, but when the tune is on the same frequency as the world, even dead men can dance. I can go on and on and on, friends, but I think you know what I'm getting at. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what matters. And this is all the time we have left on the Voice of Vision broadcast for today. We'll see you next time. This is Pastor J.D. Hatfield. God loves you, and may God bless you. Amen.
Oh, yes, I'm glad.
See you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God eternally.